So it's my pleasure to introduce Francine Huss, who is an author, speaker, teacher, and consultant. Francine is passionate about helping people discover their significance, realize their potential, and create their best life. She's also passionate about helping the business world create better lives, better business, and a better world. You can visit her website for more information. Francine and her husband live in Healdsburg, California, and Lake Michigan, where their lemon pie dream life includes dogs, vineyards, sunsets, travel, music, craft beer, entertaining family and friends, creating original art, designing beautiful spaces, and living spiritual abundance. So we are so happy you're here, Francine, and she does have her books, which will be on the back. And let's give her a warm welcome.
I think I just want you to follow me around and read that and just say, yes, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. How's my sound? Am I good? I'm so glad to be here. This community makes me feel so welcome and so at home, and I appreciate being invited. I appreciate everything you do and everything everyone does to make Sunday possible here. I know it takes a lot of work, so thank you to everybody. So, a man walks into a bar. He sees his friend drinking by himself, and he walks over and he says, "Oh, you look terrible. What's wrong?" And the guy said, "Well, my mother died in June, and she left me $10,000. And his friend said, "Oh, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that." And he said, "Oh, yes. And then in July, my father died, and he left me $20,000. And his friend said, that's a lot of loss. Wow. And then he said, and then just last month, my aunt died. She left me $50,000. And the guy said, I don't know how you do it. That's a lot of loss. No wonder you're depressed. And he said, "Yeah, and today, this month, nothing." So there's a story. Different ways to look at a story. So just this week, my dear husband had the pleasure of listening to one of my stories, which wasn't one of my better stories. I was telling him how what I was doing at the moment didn't seem to be working. I felt like I was taking one step forward, getting two steps back. None of this is working. It's not happening. When are things going to show up that I want to show up? And so on and so on and so on. And you know what that story sounds like. We've all had that story at one time or another, me more recently maybe than some of you. What that's called a victim story. How many people here are aware of what's called the kingdoms of consciousness? You heard about, some. So I will give you a very brief primer on the kingdoms of consciousness. This concept is attributed to Reverend Michael Beckwith at Agape Center in LA. The kingdoms of consciousness. And what it is it's really a description, and it's very helpful. It's a description of the different states of consciousness that we experience. And I don't want you to think, it's kind of deceiving that it sounds like levels, like one is better than the other, or we should be moving up through these levels, and if we're not, there's something wrong with us. Because I assure you, there's treasure at every level. But what this first level is of consciousness, and let me just briefly remind ourselves that consciousness is really all of the thoughts that we hold, our conscious thoughts that we choose, as well as our subconscious thoughts that have worked their way in there, they've been accumulated, we haven't disallowed thoughts of other people to barely be looked at by ourselves, and so that's part of our landscape inside. So it's our consciousness. And at this, what's called the first level, Kingdom One, it's called the victimhood level. So there's a victim story we tell ourselves. It's a story where life feels forced upon us, that things aren't going right for us, that if only I went to the right university, everything I'd touch would turn to gold. If only I knew all the right people or went to the right company to work for, everything would fall into place. If only. All of these things. We can point to any number of things. It's the government's fault. It's our parents' thought. It's our spouse's fault. It's our employer's fault. You can see the common thread of that victim story is that it's about life happening to us. Life is happening to us in this state of consciousness. It's a state of consciousness that puts all the power outside ourselves. Do you notice that? It's not my fault. It's not my power. It's everyone else's power. That I'm at the behest. Everyone else has the keys to my success. Now, in that state, there's a lot of limitation. In fact, it's all limitation. And a lot of that limitation is self-imposed, or at least accepted by ourselves, the limiting thoughts of the victim consciousness. It's also, at the very worst, the state of victim consciousness is suffering. And I think we've all experienced that state. Not just sort of the pity party I was describing you that I was having for myself, but a true state of suffering. And at best, the victim state of consciousness can just be a description of what is, which is not only sometimes limiting, but pretty uninspiring. Where's the juice in it? Where's the joy in it? Where's the inspiration in it? Sometimes that victim story that we tell ourselves is just downright boring. Do you ever notice that? That we tell ourselves a certain story, and or we're telling our story to someone else, and at the same time, there's some part of you that is so bored with telling this story. Here I go again, I'm telling this story, and I'm tired of the story, right? Now, I want you to know that in all these states of consciousness, we don't live in one most of the time. We move around. There may be parts of your life where you feel very connected, very directed, very powerful and masterful, and that's a different state of consciousness, and then they fall back into the victim consciousness in other certain states. So therein lies the treasure of this first kingdom of consciousness. Is it shows us where the work is. When we hear ourselves saying, oh, poor me, this isn't working, that isn't working, it shows us where the chinks in our thoughts are to look at. It's almost like a spotlight. It spotlights, this is where your work is. That's the good part of it. So there's that victim story, and we've all said it, me recently. Now, I also want to, besides teach you about the kingdoms of consciousness, I'm going to tie in, there's the 12 statements that Ernest Holmes wrote. It's called What We Believe. And if you haven't read them, the What We Believe statements are very inspiring. So here is one of the statements. We believe the ultimate goal of life is complete emancipation from all discord of every nature, and that this goal may be attained by all. Now, this is something we believe, but see how it shines the light in the victim consciousness, because the victim consciousness is really about putting our attention on all the discord, of all that's wrong or not right, or not what we expected, or not where we thought we would be at this point in our lives. And Ernest tells us, and this philosophy tells us, that our nature is to be free of all of this discord, and that we may all attain it. So one way to start attaining it is to move into a better story. A better story is one that is full of possibilities, potential, empowerment. I call this the mastery story. And this is equated with Kingdom 2. So if Kingdom 1 is life is happening to me, Kingdom 2 is life is happening by me. Now, when we come into this philosophy, very often people come into this philosophy because we're feeling suffering, because we're wanting, we're desiring, and we're a little bit in that Kingdom 1, And then pretty soon we have our eyes opened and our minds blown away by this philosophy and all that's possible, and we start learning the philosophy, we start learning the principles, we take the classes, and things start happening. You ever notice that when you take the classes? All of these demonstrations start happening. Listen to these stories coming up here. I've never heard of Social Security tripling for anybody. Wow, that's pretty amazing. So as we're using these principles and we are learning to, we're understanding how life works and how to work with life, life just starts flowing. And that's self-mastery. We start mastering our life, and a big change from victimhood, where life is happening to us, where there's the power is all outside ourselves. When we start learning these principles, we realize that we are creating our own life. We get to take responsibility for it. We get to start doing more, making more, giving more, enjoying more. And that's a pretty great place to be. That second level of consciousness, self-mastery. So let me read to you. What Ernest says in What We Believe, which I'm taking to be self evident of level two. We believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through universal mind, which receives the direct impress of our thought and acts upon it. We believe in the healing of the sick through the power of this mind. We believe in the control of conditions through the power of this mind. That's what we learn with this philosophy, that we can actually control conditions, that we can actually start working with life instead of swimming upstream against it. We can start swimming downstream and floating along and working with life, and our life falls into place. What happens is the structures, the foundations of our life, health, wealth, love, happiness, sometimes one by one, they just all start coming into alignment because we are aware that we are co-creating that, and we're up-leveled into this. Now, this is a great place to be, self-mastery. It's an intoxicating place to be, the second kingdom, because we're rocking and rolling. It's all working for us. It's all happening. So there's nothing wrong with this kingdom. It's a very powerful place. And yet, there's something that happens sometimes in our classes when we start shifting from poverty to prosperity, from lack of health to health. There's something that happens that starts telling us from within and our deepest soul that there's something more. There's something more than this. Have you noticed that in the classes sometimes and in your studies? That there's something beyond these conditions of health, wealth, love, and happiness. And there truly is. So what happens in the next level of consciousness is that we're moving beyond the conditions. And that there's true happiness and fulfillment that lies when our happiness, when our peace, when a sense of harmony and order, whatever quality it is that you want to experience, whatever makes you thrive and happy and joyous, those qualities, when you move into that next level of consciousness, you realize that having that experience is not dependent on the conditions. So at the next level, we're transcending conditions. That it's not about the money, it's not about being thinner, it's not about being younger. It's not about that. It's about realizing that whatever peace we want is not dependent on any particular condition in our lives. Now, in this kingdom, this is Kingdom 3. And in Kingdom 3, the way we put it is life is happening through me. So once again, Kingdom 1, life is happening to me. Then in mastery, life is happening by me. Then we move into life is happening through me. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of what it takes to move from these kingdoms one to the next. To move from the first kingdom, the first victimhood story, into mastery takes some letting go. That should be no surprise. There's always letting go in our spiritual, in any of our spiritual work. There's some letting go. In fact, Michael Beckwith does say that all of our spiritual growth is entirely about letting go. It is not about accumulating anything. It is about letting go of what we have accumulated that's in the way of our happiness, our fulfillment. So to move from that kingdom one or victimhood story into mastery, what we let go of is blame, shame, and regret. Blame, shame, and regret. Those parts of our stories that keep us in our pain, keep us in our suffering. Very often in that area, we're pointing to someone. We're pointing to that person's fault or that person's fault. Or sometimes it's our own self we're pointing to. Our own blame, our own shame, our own regret. And the work there is forgiveness, self-love. There's all number of practices that we may use to dissolve and shift into realizing a realization that the truth is there's nothing to blame, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to regret. Now, to move from that second level of mastery where life is happening by me, that's the better story, from the victim story to the better story. Then to move from the better story to kingdom three, life is happening through me. What that takes is letting go of control. Yeah, doesn't that sound fun? We've got it all going on, we've got it all happening, and then you kind of get hit with this idea, I have to let go of control to really get the juice. And that can be scary. Letting go of controlling because we think we're doing it. That's where the ego lies a lot in that second kingdom. We're doing it. Look what I'm doing. A lot of times when I work with my clients in my private practice, a lot of the work is a continual reminder that we're not doing it, that we have this power that we may use, this power that's on our side, this power that is waiting for us to partner with it, to cooperate with it, to let it help us each and every day. That's a lot of my work, is just reminding people, especially when I work with really powerful people, very capable, very competent people that really got, you know, life by the tail. That's the biggest reminder they need is that, well, yes, you have done a lot of that yourself, dear, but there's still more when you let life work with you, when you let God be your partner. So that is letting go of control and moving into a centered life where you're allowing spirit to move through you, to guide you. So the mastery stage, that better story, feels really good. You feel like you're moving along and you're bobbing along and things are going well, but it still takes some effort. It takes effort to keep everything, you know, it takes effort to keep all this happy going in between my little pity stories. But when we move into that next level and let go of control and let God, and I'm not saying let go of control, you don't look at your checkbook, you don't work out to stay healthy, you don't do what is yours to do. I'm saying to truly let spirit in and let go of thinking it's all you, let go of that level of control so that you are guided. Everything is still working fine, but it's like it's effortless. There's ease, there's grace. Let me read to you the What We Believe by Ernest. We believe in the direct revelation of truth through our intuitive and spiritual nature, and that any person, any of us right here and right now, may become a revealer of truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God. This level three, we've all experienced it. Even if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I want that, I'm sure that if I talked to you a little bit, I could help you remember a time where you've experienced that. You know, that not needing the control, that just feeling of being connected, being one. It could be when you're on the highway, on the coast highway, with the top down and the wind in your hair, and everything is bright and shiny and wonderful. That connection, that kind of connection, that's where the magic happens. That's where the miracles happen. I've defined it before, but I'll do it again because I need to hear it myself. That the way I define a miracle is that it is not a contradiction of physical law. It is the demonstration of higher law. When things just come into play, you have no explanation of it, or it's higher than you absolutely imagined. You never would have thought of this. It's just blowing you away. That's what happens when you move into that state of partnering with Spirit into the better possibility, the better story. And then there's the fourth kingdom. Now the fourth kingdom, as we teach it, but I don't like the limitations, but we say that few people really attain the fourth kingdom, but I like to think that we all, once again, we just kind of move in and out of it. Maybe it's in meditation. Maybe it's during a prayer. Maybe it's when you're sitting with a loved one during their last breaths. Or maybe it's when you're seeing a baby being born. Kingdom four. Life happens as me. God is happening as me. I am the life of God. Now, in order to move from Kingdom 3 to Kingdom 4, what we let go of is separation, true separation. When we see people in that kingdom, we see people like Mother Teresa or the Buddha, Jesus, the Christ, maybe even Ernest Holmes. We see people in that kingdom that, have you ever heard the Dalai Lama say, "Does this robe make my butt look fat?" Or do we think, I don't think I've heard any example of Mother Teresa saying she didn't have enough money. When we go from mastery into letting go of conditions, and then we realize that it's not about any of that, that our true transformation, our true fulfillment of our purpose here in life is realizing that we are that life happening. So we may achieve peace in Kingdom 3. We may see moments of it in Kingdom 1 and Kingdom 2, but in Kingdom 4, we realize we are peace. We are walking, breathing peace. We are God expressing. And in that, I not only have a quote from Ernest, I have a quote from Jesus Christ. "These things I say to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And that is really the state of Kingdom 4, is overcoming our conditions, overcoming our limitations. What Ernest says in one of the statements is, "We understand that the life of humankind is God, that this life is God, that we are God expressing." So I want you to know that telling these different stories is really a way of making choices of what you want to intend, what you're ready to let go of, recognizing where the work is. So what I want to leave you with is, well, the best story. The best story is God's story. And the tool that you can take from this is, no matter where you are or what part of your life you're looking at, no matter what story I just told myself this week, my little pity story. Fortunately, as a practicing religious scientist, one of the best things of these tools is we kind of move out of that pretty quickly. Then I can ask myself, what's a better story about this? What's the better story? What's the empowered story? What's the What's the story where life is not happening to me? It is happening by me. I am making things happen. It is happening. I trust God. It's not showing up right now, but I trust God. God is working on it. God is my partner. And then ultimately, what would God say about this? What is God's story about this very thing? And I think you'll find if you come to the workshop, because we're going to work on stories, because I actually did this myself in a retreat. And when I got to God's story, what I realized was even the subject I was storying about, the subject didn't matter. What God said to me, God's story was, this isn't even about what you think this is about. This is about your total transformation. This is just the way. So going back to the victim story, the treasure is that it shows us where the work is. And even in that and the next level, the treasure is seeing that whatever's in our way is our way. Whatever's in our way is the way to something else. And that ultimately, the highest story, the best story, the gold story that you used in the meditation, and I'm going to ask Joy to share that meditation about story in the beginning of our workshop, getting to the gold story, God's story, is absolutely the truth about who we are. And so I just want to leave you with an invitation to use this tool daily to look at what you're saying, what you're hearing. Our story really is, it's both a reflection of our consciousness within, and it's sometimes an intention of what we're stating without. It's a reflection of what has gone before, and it's also something we're putting into the creative machinery in motion. And then at any time, we can take a pause and stop and first ask, what's a better story? What's a story filled with possibilities that has no limitations? What's the story that inspires me? And then if you're willing to ask, what is God's story about this? Thank you.